live and local on AM 770 KTTH. Your independent conservative host, Todd Herman, welcomes you to the Todd Herman Show.
A little bit. See, you don't, but that's my point. You don't,
you come into my grandchildren's house and you're not vaccinated, I'm going to kick you in the ass.
Nah, you're not, Jerry. Today is the day the Lord has made, and these are the times through which God has decided we shall live. There's no getting out of it. Man, do I dare quote Jim Morrison in the same sentence as a quote God Almighty? No one here gets out alive. Yep, these are the times that God has decided we're going to live through. It's our turn. Just simply glance at France and Italy and Germany and Canada and Scotland and Ireland and the UK and Australia, and then look at the fatality profile of this virus being used to destroy any semblance of personal freedoms, and understand there's a reason they had to get a guy like Trump out of the way, because he had that whole annoying America first thing. Very, very annoying when your plan is a global push against human rights. Right of self-expression being destroyed. The right to your own body being destroyed. The right to express yourself being destroyed. Being the nature of truth being shuttled into the hands of a small group of people who openly and gleefully lie about truth. We'll talk a lot about truth in this segment. Let's talk a lot about truth in this show, because part of taking the stance of resistance, that's what we must be in, a stance of resistance, is to never give in to the lies, even if it's in clever ways, even if it's in passive-aggressive ways. You're forced to wear a woke mask, please put 2 plus 2 equals 5 on it. You have natural immunity, then say so on your woke mask if you're forced to wear one. There's a bunch of stores that are planning in the Seattle area and otherwise, like this, the good globalists at the Shake Shack. Shake Shack now says, no vaccine, no mRNA injection, you can't come in our restaurants and eat, you scum. Make them kick you out. Walk in, be in line, make them kick you out. Make them have the experience of being the bootlickers that they're becoming. Make them share that experience. Make their employees have the discomfort of kicking you out. Make them do that. Be kind. Be nice to the employees. So you're really going to do this? Why wasn't this done with the flu? Why isn't this done with pneumonia? Okay. You're just doing your job. Please remember when you spoke those words that you're just doing your job. Okay, I understand you need to eat too. Be kind, but make them have the discomfort of kicking you out. We have to make people live in the world they're creating. The Shake Shack CEO is very proud of this move. This is a guy who sells diabetes. Now look, I know you can go eat hamburgers, and hamburgers are actually pretty good for you. You can go eat hamburgers and have an occasional milkshake, and you're fine. You can have more than an occasional milkshake if you work out a lot. But he effectively sells diabetes creating foods. What's the number one comorbidity with the COVID flu? Obesity. But I will sell obesity-creating foods, but man, I'm going to make you get shot up with the mRNA injections when you come in. This reminds me of Seattle and Danny from the paper. I'll back every single liberal idea, but then I'm going to write an article about what's happened to my city.
And there's an altercation in the parking lot. It's getting a little rough. Can you send PD over here, please?
Okay. That'll be King County. I have no idea what the response time will be.
It's confirming that we are going to shut the tunnel down ourselves. Apparently, SDOT doesn't want to.
There was a drone to respond to an active commercial burst.
Tell them we don't have any resources available. Sorry.
All real live phone calls to real live dispatch in a real live separate country of Seattle. There's a guy in Seattle who writes at the Seattle Times named Danny. I call him Danny from the paper because Danny from the paper will not discuss his work. Danny from the paper doesn't have conversations with people. Danny from the paper writes things. Danny Westneat. Here's the headline. It's a pretty good headline. Well, the city council left Seattle in a no man's land on crime. Now, you should know this about Westneat. He actually was a victim of cops can't do anything when someone stole his cell phone. And Danny Westneat wrote the one memorable column in his life where he actually followed around the people who had stolen his cell phone and to like seven locations. It's a great article, but that was years ago. Now Danny's stunned at what's become of his city. But listen to this article. How you can write these words and maintain a career as a columnist, I don't know. You talk to people in the Seattle news business, media business. Oh, Danny Westneat. That's a thinker. I don't know Danny. I've never met him. Maybe he's a thinker. I don't know. Maybe I'm missing it. You guys tell me. Maybe I'm missing the part where this is a column that makes any sense. When Mayor Jenny Durkan held a news conference the other day about Seattle's horrific weekend of gun violence. Okay, stop there. If you can't say the problem, Danny, you shouldn't be writing about it. It's gang violence. You're using a propaganda phrase. Do you know that? I'm asking you a serious question, Danny. Do you know that you're using a propaganda phrase? She mostly tried to adopt a we're all in this together tone that stopped short of assigning blame. But on the subject of the depleted police force, which is down an unprecedented 270 officers in 18 months, she couldn't help herself. It's not unexpected. We've been losing this number of officers. When this city leaders talk about cutting a department by 50%, you will lose employees. I'm sure Jenny adopted her sincere tone when she said that. Westneat continues. So true. Imagine what would happen if your own workplace, if the bosses came through pledging to slash the place in half. You'd be polishing your resume before they hit the door. Okay, fair enough. So far, fair enough, except for the propaganda phrase of gun violence, which is a nonsense phrase and a propaganda phrase. All right, so fair enough. Now Danny continues. To be clear, when Durkan called out city leaders, what she meant was city council. She's right on this one, too. It was predictable that the rhetoric about defunding the police by half, embraced by last year by a majority of the city council, could easily lead Seattle to where it sits today, which is without any coherent plan to address the spate of gun violence, the worst spate of gun violence in recent memory. Then he goes on to quote the acting police chief, the interim police chief. He fails to mention that this guy is universally hated by actual cops.
Essentially, my hands are tied between having enough officers to respond to multiple scenes of violence across the city and having officers staff special events at lower priority calls. Okay. All right, acting chief hated by most cops.
You go through the entire piece, Westneat. It highlights how messed up this all is when only last Friday, hours before the weekend shootings claimed the first of five homicide victims, when city officials proposed a way to relieve the staffing on police, they would do it by shifting some 911 crisis calls to the new police-free triage one. When? Sometime next year? Okay, fair enough. Read the entire piece. Guess what's not in here? Nothing about why it's so bad. Nothing. He makes it through the entire piece without talking about the fact that city council members call cops murderers and want them charged with murder for doing their job. It doesn't call out the fact that there's open-air drug dealing in this city and a war for turf amongst actual cartels, Russian, Chinese, Honduran, Mexican cartels who have put their operatives in town. That's not mentioned. It's not mentioned that cops have to stand by while kids, the adult children of former Democrat politicians, beat cops in the back of the head with baseball bats trying to kill them. It doesn't mention that it's open season on cops during Antifa stand, which Danny's paper cheered and pretended was a summer of love. It doesn't mention that. It doesn't mention Jay Inslee tossing felons out of the prisons because of the COVID flu. It doesn't mention that. It doesn't mention the fact that they will not charge people with felonies in this city. It doesn't mention the fact that sex trafficking is up 2,000%, which comes along with criminals.
Oh, it's just that the city council just, they said they would cut the police force. That's what caused it all. That's why they're in no man's land. They shouldn't say that they're going to downsize. And gun violence. Gun violence. That's it.
I think that he's allowed to write more words. Maybe he will. Sorry, I'm just kidding. We'll continue to talk about this after we go out. Incidentally, how is the same approach to, quote, harm reduction that's being offered in Seattle, which Danny ignored in his piece? How is that working in the sister city of San Francisco, unofficial sister city? Let's see. 2015, there were 2 deaths per 100,000 people in San Francisco from an overdose. 2016-17, it was 24. 2018, it's 27. 2019, 46. 2020, now it's 77. So let's see. In a period of 5 years, you went 2 deaths per 100,000 people of overdoses to 77. But it's harm reduction, don't you know? You guys familiar with smuggles? Danny is a smuggle. Danny works from home, I imagine. No need to go into the office. Writes some words here and there that people can read and say, well, I was reading Danny Westneat, and Danny says that the real problem is they didn't have a plan in place before they fired all the Nazi scum, white supremacist killer cops who sucked the blood from babies and spit it in the faces of their mothers. Oh, well, he didn't say the part about spitting the blood. That was me. That's a smuggler. Unaffected by the lockdown? Unaffected by the crime, except for having his cell phone stolen. His entire paper sponsors this stuff. They're technocrats in good standing. The paper's owners have bragged. Oh, yeah, sure, we take money from the Gates Foundation, but we do it through an intermediary. Don't you think that we're taking money straight from Bill Gates? No, no. We do it through an intermediary. That's why Frank Blethyn, the publisher, was bragging about that in a Post Alley piece.
Your bodies.
You are a bioreactor facility.
Your kids.
Because of all of these free speech, it's not an absolute human right. It has to be balanced with all the human rights.
Your travel.
We live in a world where misinformation poses an imminent and insidious threat to our nation's health.
The media you see and hear.
We're flagging problematic posts for Facebook that spread disinformation.
The technocrats want to control. Control all of it.
Dismiss anything else. We will continue to be your single source of truth. We will provide information frequently.
The Todd Herman Show presents Tracking the Technocrats.
On your Facebook posts, no matter what they are, please start writing to the White House. Please let me know if this is a problem. Even if it's pictures of your kids. To Jen Psaki and the White House, who is censoring things, I hope this is okay. This is my son's 7th birthday. On every post, say to Facebook and the White House, who are sponsoring or searching things for disinformation, I have my kid's birth certificate. This is actually his birthday, in case you need the proof. We need to alert our friends, make them be okay with it. Make them say, oh, well, I think that there should be limits on speech, and then go to them. Go and report their posts. I'm not kidding. You've got people in your social circles.
Well, normally, I would be against censorship, but these are private companies just doing what private companies do. It's their platform. If you don't like one, go build another platform that has the sponsorship of the United States government, the World Health Organization, China, that is partly owned by BlackRock, the world's largest investment bank, and that's been embedded in newsrooms around the country. Go build your own.
When your friends are saying that about this, like Facebook's role in so-called disinformation, report their posts. Get together with all of them. With your friends, your freedom-loving friends, and target, I'm not kidding, target your liberal friends who are defending censorship. Target their posts. Report them as abusive. The algorithm will pick that up. Some of them are going to get taken down. And then say to your friends, well, I was offended, so I decided to shut it down. Yep, I got together a team of people, 15, 20 people. We decided to target that post about your son's birthday. It doesn't get to go up. It was offensive to me. What offended you? You called him your son. You don't know. He's only 7. You don't know if he's a son or a daughter. So there. So my friend asked me, are you watching the Olympics? And weightlifting. And I had to say no. And I think it sort of disappointed her. She's teaching me how to actually lift like an athlete, not a farmer who does CrossFit, but an athlete. We'll get to the reason why in that. Oh, did I mention Facebook and your friends? Oh, this is interesting. Big tech is building a joint database on domestic terror groups focused on far-right extremists. This has been talked about at the Global Internet Forum to counter terrorism. It usually monitors groups on a special UN list. Now it wants to target supposed far-right militia groups. Like maybe this guy. Our friend who fills in the show from time to time, Victoria Taff, I'm so lucky to have her fill in for us. She's written about this gentleman who was attacked by Antifa. You can watch the videos. They tried to murder the man. He was forced to pull his concealed carry. He was forced to defend himself. And Aaron, and before the political murder in the streets, before all that, before the McCloskeys, before Marquise Love, before all of these things, before Jake Gartner in Omaha, there was an attempt to kill a man in Portland, before Joey Gibson, Patriot Prayer, before all of this stuff. This young man was targeted by Antifa, and he was forced to defend himself. His name is Michael Strickland. You can watch the videos. He was charged with crimes. He was filming Antifa for his site, Laughing at Liberals. He was filming their activities. They attacked him and attempted to murder him, and he had to defend himself. And there's no question it was self-defense. He was convicted of 21 counts. Now, mind you, the Speaker of the House in Oregon has her legislative director is Antifa, according to Andy Noh. She's arrested at Antifa riots, according to Andy Noh, and booking papers. But yeah, Facebook and big tech are keeping a joint database on extremist groups. So my friend said, so you're watching the Olympic weightlifting? I said, no, it's sad I'm not because, and I didn't say why, because we're in a gym and we're just lifting, so I didn't want to get into it. There is a man who is competing as a woman in the Olympics. Laurel Hubbard stole 2 spots on the Olympic team from 2 women of color. 2 young women of color. The fact is, Laurel Hubbard, this man, couldn't compete in rec league weightlifting for men. He couldn't get on a rec league team for men. He couldn't land himself in the top 2,000 lifters. Well, he couldn't land himself in the top 10,000 lifters, to be honest, as a male. But that doesn't stop the IOC from saying, we have to pay tribute to what they call her courage. It is not courageous to go enter a contest where you have a monumental advantage, lung capacity, lean muscle tissue, hip to waist ratio, bone density, fast twitch muscle fiber. All these things are advantages that don't go away because you took some estrogen and everybody knows it. It doesn't stop there with the technocrats. Medical schools are now teaching. These are medical schools. These are people who are going to be surgeons are being taught that there is no such thing as male and female. There isn't animals. Dogs, cats, horses, cows, fish. Not in people. It's just a guess. We just don't know if someone's a male or a female. That's in medical schools. Resist. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show. It's okay to admit this is sort of a pretty song. Like, Things could be hardcore rock and roll. This isn't, but it's okay to admit it can be kind of pretty. They were a great band. I remember when Guns N' Roses came out, it was like, it was in the midst of grunge and everything had become grunge, and like great power pop bands like the Posies started to try to get all grungy, and this is some kind of weird musical version of Guns N' Roses, but that's okay. Sweet Child of Mine. And when that record came out, I remember my best friend and I, and he's a great musician. He and I used to write songs together, and he still can write songs. I can't anymore. I lost it. I don't do it. And when that record came out, do you remember when I think it was Appetite for Destruction hit? And it was like, wow, you can still make American bands sort of like a mix between Aerosmith and the Stones a little bit, and a little bit of Bachman Turner and a little bit of hardcore rock in this. And yeah, they were falling apart at the time. Like those guys lived the life. My cousin was in music in Los Angeles and had warmed up for Guns N' Roses and Rats and all those kind of hair bands. But Guns N' Roses had a melodic take to them that the other bands didn't have. They had a storytelling take to them that they didn't have, the other bands didn't have. And what my cousin Eddie told me is those guys lived in the same house, in this flop house, for years. They played 6-7 hours a day, every day. And that's really all they did. And the night that Guns N' Roses came out for their coming out party for the record companies to come and see them, and the legend is that there were like 6 or 7 labels right after that saying, "We have got to have you." But they were falling apart at the time. Sometimes bands, when they're falling apart, put out their best music. Like Steven Tyler's talked about with Aerosmith when it was... Sick as a Dog. Remember that record? Rocks. When that record came out, that band was near to falling apart because they had been through Aerosmith's self-name. That's with, you know, Mama Kin and Dream on it. And then Toys in the Attic, which was... No. Then Get Your Wings. That came out very quickly after that. Toys in the Attic, which was a brilliant concept album. People don't know that that's a concept album, but it is. And at that point, they hadn't been home. They had literal drug dealers on speed dial. Steven Tyler's talked about this, that they were so addicted that they had the these drug trucks. They would go do these shows, and there were RVs that were just for the drugs that they were taking. And then Rocks, Sick as a Dog, Back in the Saddle, Home Tonight, that whole just wealth of songs on that record. And they were just completely falling apart. And then Draw the Line came out. Then when they recorded Draw the Line, Steven Tyler and Joe Perry, the two principal songwriters, never saw each other. They were never in the studio together. They hated each other. They even had separate drug dealers. So they would go lay down a track. Joe would lay down a guitar track. Steven was in at these different times. I don't know what it is about rock and roll, but sometimes when the bands are falling apart, the best music comes from it. I don't know why that is. It's like the extinction burst of viruses, right? That's what we're seeing right now with the Delta variant. Viruses, almost always upper respiratory viruses, become more contagious and less deadly because guess what? A virus wants to preserve its life. It's a bad idea to kill all the hosts.
I think it's become clear that fairness is overrated. The idea that we should always give two sides equal weight and merit does not reflect the world we find ourselves in.
So across the country, Democrats are already doing pre-spin about the election. They're already foreseeing that they're going to see terrible, terrible polling numbers. They're already seeing that. Kami Harris's poll numbers are abysmal. It's weird.
Well, I did garner that 1% vote in the primaries, and Willie Brown always said I had a talent for speaking.
So they don't have her out in public. So Democrats, Mike LaChance at Legal Insurrection, the points to interviews with more than 36 Democrat elected officials, and they're all saying the same thing. We're blanked. Why? Voter ID. they're already saying, oh, it's voter ID. It's checking signatures. Now, why would that concern them? They didn't cheat. This was the safest, most secure election in history. Well, what was second place? They don't track it. They don't track safe and secure elections. But you just said they did. The party is never wrong. The final report from Wisconsin came out. This is by Matt Brainerd's group, Look Ahead America. Their final count came out. What's it say here? Let's see. Our final Wisconsin report is published. It shows 157,000 illegal ballots cast in Wisconsin, eight times the margin of victory in the presidential election. The Wisconsin Supreme Court has agreed that, yep, a lot of these ballots were illegal. They shouldn't have been counted. Michigan State Supreme Court had a similar response. The stance of resistance to this stuff is, no, I do not trust the elections. The stance of resistance is every time you see a Republican office holder in public, you ask him, hey, do you trust the election system in our state? If so, why? And of course, the mockingbirds are going to play this game. MSNBC is already saying that voting laws equal apartheid. Voting laws, checking ID, checking signatures equals apartheid.
This is now a fight to the finish. It's democracy or autocracy. It's America or 1980s South Africa. That's how serious it is, Democrats. Wake up. Wake up. Don't do the clapping. Wake up. Okay.
That's how apartheid began, was voter ID. Oh, no, wait. Sorry. No, it didn't. It began with imperialism and seizing another country in a time globally where that's what empires did. They went around and they seized land. It began that way. This is not that time. America is not that country. Checking voter ID is, in fact, probably stopping a massive act of fraud. Dig this. About 50,000 migrants, meaning illegal immigrants, crossed the southern border and have now been released into the United States. Only 13% are showing up for their court hearings, of course. That's the way it always works. The police in Texas have verified that the feds are forcing the release of illegal immigrants who have COVID flu. Peter Ducey asked Joe Biden's spokesmouth about this.
Why is it that the federal government is asking vaccinated Americans to wear masks to stop the spread of COVID-19, but at the same time, federal agents are also releasing COVID-19 positive border crossers into small towns in Texas? How is that?
Well, let's step back for a second because first, just to step back and do this 30,000-foot view, there's been no change in Title 42. Families and single adults.
Okay, not what he asked. When a spokesmouth starts with, let me step back and we need to step back and let me take a 30,000-foot view to utterly avoid what you asked.
Expelled, if possible, when apprehended at the southern border. The majority of apprehensions that we saw at the border in June were expelled.
Okay, again, are we going to get to the answer to the question?
Those who can't be expelled or are awaiting processing are often placed in alternatives to detention programs while their case.
Yeah, hotels with room service. Three hots and a cot. No, is that king size? I want the king size room. Hey, I was told there'd be a view of the pool.
Are being reviewed. CBP provides migrant with PPE from the moment they are.
Oh, good. So they're providing them with woke masks that do nothing. Got it. Remember this. The party is never wrong. They can't be wrong because they have seized truth. Take it back. Teach your kids from the moment you start teaching them language, boy, girl, basic truths. We'll come back in the Todd Herman Show. Dory Monson joins us coming up on the Todd Herman Show. 32 years at the top of the talk radio game in the separate country of Seattle. Dory is the watchdog of government waste, fraud, and abuse. He'll probably have some things to say. Oh, this is I just want to make note of this. This is probably not important, but I'll mention it. The FDA had a meeting, and in that meeting, they were presenting some of the background where the country has traveled in the fight against this mid to mild flu that's been around for 2 or 3 years that people like Ralph Baric began patent trading for about a year before it hit in America, or we were told it hit. And in about 2 hours and 33 seconds, 2:33:40 of the original timing of the FDA presentation on October 22nd, it's October 2020, they skipped past a screen in the presentation, but someone went back and looked it up, and they found the screen they skipped past. And it said the possible side effects and adverse outcomes of the mRNA injection: death, pregnancy and birth outcomes, Guillain-Barre syndrome, that's where your face seizes up, acute disseminated, I can't even read that, encephalitis, that's just a deadly infection, transverse myelitis, meningitis, convulsions, seizures, stroke, narcolepsy, asphyxiosis, choking, acute myocardial infraction, you don't say, myocarditis, pericarditis, swelling of the heart, and pericarditis is the sac around the heart, autoimmune disease, vaccine-enhanced disease, multiple inflammatory system in children, Kawasaki disease, giving someone a condition, Kawasaki disease, that would make them far more likely to die of the COVID flu than having not had that, so... It's weird that that didn't get covered and they skipped over it in their presentation. I wonder why. Let's get started with
just a few more things.
It's a quick arrangement of news-like items laid out into a logical and sequentially ordered list, thereby adding some order back into a world being made purposely chaotic by
thing
the party.
One.
Well, here's why. It's because goofs like Rochelle Walensky get to call themselves a CDC director. So, hey, Rochelle. You went from some pretty strong statements about, hey, you can take your woke masks off.
Once you are fully vaccinated, 2 weeks after your last dose, you can shed your mask.
Yes! And then 6 weeks later, put it back on right now! Right now! Put it back on! You're killing all the children! You can't go to Shake Shack without the mRNA injections, compliance passes, papers, papers! Let's see your papers! That's why. Next up, and just a few more things.
Thing two.
Well, at least we've got Joe Biden's dementia and his team of spoke mouths to put things right.
Because the public health leaders in our administration have made the determination based on data that that is a way to make sure they're protected, their loved ones are protected, and that's an extra step given the transmissibility of the virus.
Am I the only one who remembers, Dr. Fauci, you've said that double masking may be a path forward in the United States. Am I correct that these are mucous membranes that you're attempting to put a barrier around, the nose, the mouth, mucous membranes, or the eyes are mucous membranes? Should people wear goggles? Well, I do think it's possible that the American people should walk around in goggles. Perhaps most people have those things for swimming. I forget what they're called because I hire someone to swim for me. Next up, in just a few more
thing
things.
Three.
Here, a rich white actor on CNN tells a black man, a congressman, what to do with his body. There used to be a thing where it was a bad idea for rich white men to tell black men what to do with their bodies.
This isn't about you won't force
it's
me.
It's not a false choice.
It's
actually
it is.
The accurate choice, Chris.
It's not an accurate false. Choice. Nobody's forcing enough. Anybody. You're trying to push it to where people have to be forced. And you're seeing it as a position of strength and advantage.
You're the one that's pushing it, not me.
Hey, nobody's forcing you. Nobody's forcing you. We just don't force us to force you. We're not forcing you. We're just telling you. You're going to force us to force you. That's what you're forcing us to do, is to force you. No one's forcing
thing
you.
Thing four.
Right, Billy de Blasio?
The voluntary phase is over. We can keep doing those things. I'm not saying shut it down. I'm saying voluntary alone doesn't work. It's time for mandates because it's the only way to protect our people.
Our people, right, because you're so concerned, Mr. Crime rocketed in New York, 100%, 96% increase in dead cops killed on the line of duty.
Thing five.
That's the governor of New York City. Now the thug, pardon me, governor, or pardon me, that was the mayor of New York City, now the head thug of New York State.
And we have to get in those communities, and we have to knock on those doors, and we have to convince people and put them in a car and drive them and get that vaccine in their arm. That is the mission.
Hey, listen, nobody's forcing you. We're just telling you you're going to force us. Like, look, I don't want to hit you. But sometimes when dinner's not ready, I got to hit you. And you're forcing me. You know, I can't get my needs taken care of. I got to hit you. Tory Monson joins us next on the Todd Herman Show.